right, guys, welcome back to the Big Black Clock podcast. I am your host, Joe Cherney, and I'm joined today by
Dimitri
and Alex.
Glad to be back. It's been a busy week. How's your week been, Dimitri?
Pass. Next question.
Because it's still going.
It's a nightmare. Gosh. All right.
But you know what? I've had a tough week as well. It's been a really rough week. How about you, Carl? I'm great.
Well rested.
Oh, yes.
Well, slept 15 hours.
I didn't sleep much last night, so.
Wait, what is your definition of not much? Like how many hours?
4 to 5 hours.
Okay, that's not a lot.
That's not a lot for you, actually.
Yeah, it's not a lot. It's not a lot for anybody.
No. No, exactly. No,
but for me, it's not.
For you,
far from perfect.
For you, it's like a power nap.
Yeah, exactly. It's a quick nap. Just like
quick nap. A quick 5 hour nap. It's a quick nap. I wake up on Monday.
Tough with this COVID, you know. But I went to
what is it?
I had this like no. But the thing is that yesterday I was at a birthday party on Zoom for Ken's wife's birthday.
Yeah.
And then after the call, there was a comedian and stuff like that on it. And then after the call, I was speaking to Alex.
Coronos.
Yeah. So we were FaceTiming after because he was on the call itself and we were chatting about it. And he was saying like in COVID, he's developed better sleeping habits because of the fact that, you know, you're at home more often. Man, you as a kid, he got into a better sleep pattern. But he was just saying that 4 or 5 hours... like for him right now is amazing. It's great. That's like the perfect amount of sleep that he needs.
I do that like 2 times in a row and I die.
That for him is like great because he just had a kid, right?
Your body adjusts though. Like you'll have no choice at some
People
point,
told
right?
me that my whole life. I need 12 hours of sleep.
Yeah, but have you tried going, let's say, for a month sleeping 6 hours a night?
Yeah, I did it when I was in Toronto for like when they had the... inundation over there,
the flood,
and your body never adjusted. You were like just accumulating exhaustion.
No, run on adrenaline.
Yeah, no, I got completely wrecked. I came back from there and I slept for like 2 weeks.
Wow. You wake up, your muscle atrophy, like super long.
Like, 2 weeks. Like if you think how long 2 weeks is, you wake up and you're like, oh, Olympics are over.
Oh my
like,
god! What happened? Oh my god! Olympics? I'm so dehydrated. I'm so hungry.
Exactly. The whole Olympics are over at that point. It's a whole fortnight, right?
Yeah. Well,
speaking of Olympics, the Euro is going to be this year.
Yeah.
Not Olympics, but sports
and Tokyo.
I'm excited about that.
Tokyo, yeah, it's a country.
Olympics and Euro at the same time. Like
country
in
sport.
The summer.
Was Tokyo supposed to be Summer Olympics?
Tokyo was a Summer Olympics from last year.
Okay, so yes. So because I always remember that the Euro is always timed with Summer Olympics and the World Cup is always the Winter Olympics.
And they messed it up because Tokyo had a great logo with the 2020, with the O's.
But did you see the new logo? It was like, it's kind of okay.
Oh yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah. Okay. I didn't see it. No. Well, anyway, this week what we wanted to talk about, we were thinking of Timex a lot these days. And we had nothing really in terms of their releases, but we wanted to talk a little bit about Timex because it's a great brand and it's a lot of fun and they're everywhere and they have a rich history and we thought we would do all about Timex this week. Kind of like our all about Seiko.
If you like quartz and have pocket change,
exactly.
Timex.
But there's a, you know, and there's a little bit of a, like, why are they so unpopular with, like, I guess, watch enthusiasts? And, you know, it seems that way a little bit. Yeah. It's just like, you got a Timex. And whilst Seiko kind of has like, well, no, it's okay. Whilst, you know, with watch enthusiasts,
I
find.
I would still think that like Timex is probably a watch that people who should have in their collection at some point.
I think so. And I think that hopefully, if people listen to this, they change their mind about it and they go, you know, maybe I want a Timex now after hearing a little bit about what Timex has to offer.
Do we have a Timex store here in Montreal?
No, but they're sold everywhere. Yeah, they're sold at the department stores. And to be honest,
Home Depot.
Walmart. You go to Dollarama, they're by the cash register.
Yeah. But some places, yeah.
By Tic Tacs and Timex.
But I think you guys are making a good point when you talk about the cheap, quick, disposable Timexes that exist. But there's also
cheap,
a history behind
disposable.
It. And there's different divisions to it. There's more to Timex than what we see. Oh.
So how disposable? Do they like give you the time like once or twice and stop working?
You can't wind them.
How about one?
So it doesn't have a crown.
So for the sake of it,
here's a Timex.
When we say disposable, for the sake of disposable, what we're saying is that when it's time to fix it, maybe it's just worth buying another one, not servicing it, not paying to fix it.
Could we consider Timex the like fast fashion of the watches?
I don't think it's fast fashion.
No? Some of the offerings are. Some of their offerings are not really fashion watches, I would say.
We're saying fast fashion because they,
fast fashion is like it's $5 t-shirt that you wear twice.
I see what you mean.
Rips and you.
But fast fashion t-shirt also meets within, for example, what's fashionable at that moment.
Yeah, what's hip.
And I think Daniel Wellington kind of fits that because they go, that's what's hot right now. So, and it's not for the long term. It's just as good as the times speak for it. So in the next couple of years, it may change. You throw it in your drawer and you may never touch it again. You know,
yeah, because it's not hip with the youth anymore.
What I mean
the
by youths. Disposable, though, is that, and we'll talk about in a second, Timex had a lot of watches that were made in a way that they weren't made to be serviced after. They weren't made with the materials that would last like jewels and rubies and stuff within the movement. But others did. Timex did start investing into their movements and they started to create watches that could last generations. So we'll get into that for a minute. But before we jump into that, how about we do a quick wrist check? What about you? What are you wearing this week, Dimitri?
I'm wearing my Casio F91W.
Oh.
But the one that's the one that has a gold case.
It's a gold case, though.
So it's plastic, but it's gold case plastic.
It's gold plastic.
It's gold color.
I bought it a couple of years ago when we were sitting, all of us were sitting in the bar before.
I think I remember.
Before time.
But he was drunk. And he did a drunk buy.
I mean, it was a $20 drunk buy, right? So I didn't feel bad about it at all.
You say that like you're the worst with like PayPal. It was like you're walking your dog and like, and a new watch.
I am the worst. And the worst. And
here's your child from Cambodia.
And the problem with PayPal is that it validates just using your face. So he goes, oh, and it's like, boop, boop. And like, oh,
and
no.
Your face kind of looked the same when you're drunk. Ah, so.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very famous watch from Casio, right? It's like a $20
terrorist watch.
Wow. Sorry, I'm not in that kind of
but they
circles,
use the black one.
So I'm not
they
really
use the
aware.
Black one because they don't want to be fancy. But literally, it is the terrorist watch. It was the whole thing about Al-Qaeda that they wore the F1, the F91W.
Wow,
I'm serious.
Okay, well, so and the gold one is reserved for people from ISIS.
Well, this is for the oil rich, for the sheiks.
I'm not even kidding. Hold on, terrorist.
Terrorize me this.
I'm gonna get a knock from the FBI.
I'm gonna be a knock at the FBI. So,
how do you know this?
So listen to this on Wikipedia, Casio F-191, and it literally says, the section is called Usage and Terrorism. According to secret documents issued to interrogators at Guantanamo Bay, released by The Guardian, the F-91 digital watch was declared to be the sign of the Al-Qaeda and contributing factor to continued detention of prisoners by analysts stationed at Guantanamo Bay. Documents used to train staff in assessing the threat level detainees advised that the possession of this watch, available online for as little as £4, suggests that the wearer has been trained in bomb making by Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan.
That is...
God, I'm not even kidding.
God damn. God damn.
Don't go to the States.
Wearing a Casio.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but yours is gold. It's fine.
Gold. It's class, right? Upper scale.
It's upper scale. They wouldn't buy that because that would be, you know, haram.
Haram. It's too expensive.
So what are you wearing, Carl?
So and we're back. So if people, you have like a huge gap there, it's because it went like way in the wrong direction.
It's an interesting fact though that it's associated.
I mean,
to
is
that.
It such a
it's
thing?
It's a fact.
As
is it interesting?
Is there a thing as a wrong direction? Nobody really knows where they're going. Everything is just a direction.
Okay, you're so existential,
Dima. Yes, direction. So I got my Carl F. Booker back.
Actually, you know what? Let me go first because I think you're going to keep going on this a little bit with the story. Yeah. So I'm wearing a Stova Marine Original Roman. So this is the one that has the Unitas 6498 pocket watch movement.
The super loud movement that makes your glass like just vibrate. It goes in the windows.
It goes boom, boom.
You know? It's like in Jurassic Park when T-Rex was approaching. It's
oh my gosh. And I put it on, I bought it on the, I ordered this the extra the actual crocodile strap.
From the
From Stova.
Did they have to kill the whole crocodile to make one strap, or like make like how many straps do they
I
make from one crocodile?
I certainly hope so. And then I hope like, that they just like, threw the rest away,
just discard
like the sharks and the shark's fin.
And not even utilize it. No recycling. Just discard it by the side of the road. Or whatever they.
People
they
realize
make
crocodiles are just you know they're awful people. They're just
wow, the crocodile people way worse than alligator people.
Some would say that they're not even people.
Exactly.
What?
Some would say I'm not saying it, but you said it, not me. So anyway, this is a 41 millimeter marine chronometer inspired, and it's a really great watch. I'm really happy. What are you wearing, Carl?
Like I was saying earlier, I got the chance to get back my Colef Bukur from the service after 6-7 weeks almost.
Yep.
It was in service for 7 weeks.
Yes. Okay. So three of those weeks were putting the like watch apart and finding all the parts. As if, like with the Le Manier movement in it, it's popular movement, still kind of hard to find original parts. And I did ask for original parts. So they changed some stuff in it. It was mainly the big problem was that the loom from the ends that are not original on that watch was chipping away and doing some dust. And the dust was mixing with the oil in the movement.
Ooh.
And because of that...
That's such a weird thing. Think about it. The loom becomes...
It's very specific, but I get it. It's almost like sandpaper effect.
Exactly, right? So they had to like do an overhaul of the movement pretty much.
Oh,
It wasn't expensive. $340 Canadian.
Like okay.
Everything. And they changed the crown on that too. Because the seal of the crown was non-existent.
Because the stem to the crown is all one piece, right?
Yeah. So,
this is awesome. So your watch is like brand new now inside.
Yeah. Pretty much. But they didn't change any parts of the movement itself. Okay. Just finding I think it was the jewels. Make sure everything was fitting and all those things.
To keep running.
So they called me and they told me, we have two options for your new crown. Either you go with a no name or it's a limited movement. So they said, do you want an Omega crown on it? So I was like, I want that Omega crown, so I can say now I have the better Omega of the group.
But it's a modern crown, right? It's the one that kind of feels like the one that I have on my Speedmaster almost.
Probably
it's not exactly the same one
because they're everywhere. Yeah. They're just there.
Yeah. The difference that I have a crown
guard. That watchmaker is an Omega certified.
He's
watch
an Omega
shop,
guy,
right?
Swatch, pretty much. Yeah, but Omega, yeah.
This is nice.
So yeah, I had to choose, and I just like, you know what? I'll take the Omega one. I think first thing first, it's a small int of the movement, and secondly it was like, now I can tell Demon I have
the stem is also Omega, or is it
it's all one piece.
It's all one piece,
the crown stem,
from what I understood.
It's crown stem.
You can use it. The only thing that they didn't change, it's the pushers, because those pushers are 4 millimeters and they go inside the case when you push them. And the Omega standard spec is 4.5 millimeters, so they didn't have any in stock, and it told me, your pushers are still working great. The seals are gone and non-existent. It's a 50-year-old watch, right?
Right.
It's like, we cannot certify it for water resistance, or we need to change your pushers, and it's like a 4 weeks out to get them. I told them, I'm not going to dive with the watch, so just leave the original
it's
one.
It's awesome. Man, it's awesome. It's nice.
Yeah, so it's working A-OK. I've been stress testing it all week.
Is it? So have you tested, let's say, how precise it is now?
Yeah, it's really precise. They didn't give me the paperwork from the like tester they have, and it's back from the original spec from 50 years ago. That's +3 -6.
Okay.
Holy shit, that's really good.
And
or an hour.
Plus three hours.
Huh? You lose 3 days every day. Like, what?
So it's not moving. It's going backward.
Super fast.
Yeah, no, I forgot to take
six
pictures.
Seconds a day. And they tested how many positions, do you know, or was it?
They gave me three
positions?
Three paper sheet. So I'm guessing there was three different positions? Tests. Yeah. I don't know. The position's not reading on it.
Okay.
But they give me with all the old parts they removed from the watch as well. So I have the old seals from the case and everything. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah.
So
you can always give it to someone. Here's your OEM if ever you want to get rid of it.
Because of that... because of that servicing, is your watch now gained in value?
No, I still have the after market end. They repaint them with new loom. So it's the same end, they're just not more white because they didn't paint.
Okay.
Because I didn't want the dust to create the same problem.
Yeah.
And it's not an original crown technically. That was not an original crown product.
Okay.
So technically it stayed the same value, but the watch shop that I purchased from, Time Titans, they paid for everything.
Right, that's nice.
So it didn't cost me anything. So for me, like, the watch is the same value in and out.
That's awesome.
But I see.
You have a Franken watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the only
it's like a Lego.
Yeah. The only things that are different are the ends and the crown. Everything else is original. For the watchmaker as well.
My Seiko Pogue, I had the overhaul of the movement. It cost me like $350.
It doesn't sound a lot to me, right? Like for something that's vintage.
Yeah, but the watch you pay like $1,000, so you still have to put in 30% to services. Some people don't want that, eh? Some people don't want that.
What kind of a movement is in the Pogue? Is it that they're still making it, or is it something that's vintage that's not really made, like Le Manier, for example?
I don't think they make it anymore.
Okay. But yeah, $350, $340. They did change a part. It was just an overall, just maintenance.
Right.
Right,
they changed a couple, like they changed one of the wheels, but it was all OEM. They went and got the Seiko piece because it's all pretty generic, right?
So for my watch, technically it was an overall, right? They didn't change any parts of the movement. They were able to save everything.
Nice. And the strap that you have on it, is it the one that you bought it with, or you bought it separately?
It came with that watch.
It's new though, right? It looks like it's new.
It was new when I got it. Now it's a bit more
right.
A sweat in it.
But it's a suede brown vintage strap that he has.
Yeah.
But that wasn't my planning to find...
It works
find,
very well, I think, with this watch.
Yeah. It wasn't my plan to find a new set of bands for it. Like, same style, higher quality.
You know what I would look at? And so shout out, I bought the 22 millimeters?
I think so.
But I can show you, I bought for my Seiko 6139, I bought a black, same style. It's like vintage style with the two stitches on the strap. In smooth black leather. That would be amazing. I think black leather would be great on that.
I just thought that, like, it's nice, but your watch has a little bit of a color on it, and I think it would be cool to add, like, a blue racing strap on it.
Being blue, yeah.
Yeah, sub-dial for the seconds.
It will look like a racing watch, right? Because because you have a little hint of blue on the sub-dial.
Or, like, a dark leather with, like, the stitching.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool. That'll spice it up a little bit. It will give it, like, the Monaco kind of...
Yeah. If you look at the Watch Gecko... Vibe. Watch Gecko has... some good straps there, the high quality ones. So if you pay the $50, like, they have some cheap ones, but if you pay the $50 one, it's really good.
I'm pretty sure I'll go with something. It's like a $2,000 vintage watch. And it's worth putting something else on it.
But right? I was saying that one I put in, I bought straps at about $50-$60 and they're really good quality. Mm-hmm. Collar rib is also very good. So whole bin straps, you can find some good straps there too. Good. That's a nice wrist check.
Yeah.
So let's jump into the main subject. We're talking about Timex, boys.
Hells yeah.
Wait, it's not... Is that Casio?
No. For you, probably. You have. we want to talk a little bit about Timex. So Timex has a long history behind them. They started as a clock manufacturer in 1954 in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Oh, wow. I actually remember that. I mean, Waterbury, Connecticut is because I drove by and I saw like a factory or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they probably still have like an old building.
Yeah, they sell their headquarters there.
Oh, that's amazing.
So they were considered at the time like the Switzerland of America, and they were making clocks, right? That was the big piece of their what they were known for. And up to 1977, they became the Waterbury Watch Company. So they started to make watches, pocket watches. 1854 and 1877. So
oh, it was 1854.
1854, what did I say?
Same year as the Tissot.
Yeah. So it's 1854, yeah. So in 1878, they were the largest volume or the largest watch producers in volume in the world. In 1878, they also had another company that belonged to them called Ingersoll. By 1896, they had a pocket watch called the Yankee, which was sold for about a buck. Was sold for a buck back then, which represents about $30 today, U.S.
It's still on brand.
Yeah, $30 back today, and it to them, what was the big claim to fame about this pocket watch? The Yankee was one very American, but also it like reinvented the dollar, the idea of what a dollar could buy you. You could go buy yourself a pocket watch. Waterbury started to struggle; it wasn't doing too well. And in 1912, Ingersoll ended up buying them, and then like everything in the early 1900s or as of 1919, World War I took place. And then, you know, wristwatches or watches were required for the war. And then they were picked up by the military to produce wristwatches for them. And they really had this kind of, sense of durability. That was what they were marketing. They had a term like, it will take a licking and keep on ticking. That's Timex.
You know, take a licking and keep on ticking.
Keep on ticking, yeah. So Waterbury did well. Ingersoll ended up not doing well during the war. And in 1922, Waterbury ended up buying them. In the early 1930s, Ingersoll picked up a deal with the Nazis. Sorry, I mean Disney. And and then they started
not so accidental slip.
And then they started making these Mickey Mouse watches, which are very popular, very expensive these days. You can find the old Ingersoll Mickey Mouse watches. Yeah. So during World War II, Thomas Olsen took Waterbury, saving them, and he started manufacturing military parts for the government and their missiles and whatnot. And at that point, the company started to be called the U.S. Time Company. That's what it was called. Their first watch came in 1949. And in 1950, you might think that the word Timex comes from a reference to time and hence watches. but you'd be wrong, because what it actually is, it's a combination of two words. So the guy was walking around with a Time magazine and a Kleenex box, and that's why it's called Timex.
Really?
Literally.
I don't know why. In my head, it was like Time Exchange.
And it's not. It's literally Time magazine. He had in his suitcase a Time magazine, a copy of it, and a box of Kleenex. So he called it Timex.
So he pretty much used the marketing of two other brands.
Excuse me?
He used the marketing name of like two other brands.
Exactly. You can't sue him, he's dead. And then, so Thomas Olson then bought a majority interest of the Waterbury Watch Corp, which later became Timex. In 1941, they came up with that name. So that's a little bit about what happened. So if we continue going on into their history in 1950, wartime technology was put in. It had to be dustproof, waterproof. And this became the American watch to have. One out of every three sales in the U.S. of watches were from Timex. In 1973, to give you an idea, 21,776,000 watches were sold in the United States. 21 million of them were Timex. So think about that dominance in terms of sales. In 1969, the United States Time Company then became Timex. So, but sticking to the 50s, 60s, and 70s, they were on top. They had Rocky Marciano, the boxer, Mickey Mantle wearing Timex. And a big reason of it was in 54, the president had actually put in a proclamation 3062 that had said that all foreign watches had to have between 0 and 17 jewels. All foreign watches had to pay tariffs. It was to protect the American watch company, right? So yeah. Timex was able to thrive on this. And last thing, very important about Timex, which I think holds up today, and we'll talk about that in a minute, everything that had to do with their design strategy, they weren't investing in their movement so much. They wanted a watch to look expensive, but not cost too expensive.
Yeah.
That was really at the base. It was always style over substance. They had to look the part.
So it's more fashion forward than...
Yeah. And the US Trade Commission actually documented their success. In 1960s, they had the Marlin, which they're still making. They brought it back today, tough as nails. That was their thing. In 1969, Timex Corp became rebranded. In the 80s, they went back to making retail goods versus commercial items. And in the 80s, they created the Iron Man. And in 1986 to 1996, it was the most selling watch in the world.
Right.
Tough as nail because they're using the same cheap metal as like the nail makers.
Yeah, probably.
They all source their parts from Home Depot.
But don't get scratched because you will need a tetanus shot. And in 92, they had the innovation of the Indiglo, right?
Yeah.
And it was a big innovation that made them popular because in 1993, when the World Trade Center was bombed, some guy actually used the Indiglo to get himself, use it as light to get out of the rubbish. Yeah. In 1991, this is where they started to buy other companies. They had Callinan, which they ended up buying Guess. You know, the Guess.
Timex bought Guess?
Yes.
Guess the clothing brand.
Yes. Nautica also belongs to Timex in 91. 97, Timex Expedition became its own sub-brand as well to Timex, and they bought a French company called Opex. In 2002, they ended up buying Marc Ecko, the fashion brand as well. Then they opened a fashion line, of a luxury fashion line, where Timex ended up buying Versace. And Salvatore...
I think it's Versace.
Versace. And Salvatore Ferragamo as well.
Do they still own Versace?
They do.
It is very interesting because it's so outside of what their main core business is.
So look at it this way. 2008, they separated their units. Timex Group BV, which is a German company, split it into five groups. You had Timex Group USA, which had Timex Nautica. You had Timex Business Unit, which had a Timex, but then it had Marc Ecko. You had Timex Sequel, which had like Guess, which is their fashion line. They had Timex Luxury Division, which is Versace, Salvatore Ferragamo. And then they had their main designer, Giorgio Galli, who has his own grouping called the Giorgio Galli Design Lab, which is in Milan, which is working very closely with their luxury division of Versace and Salvatore Ferragamo. So that is a little bit about the history of Timex. Long history, a lot that they went through in terms of like what's expensive, what's not expensive, a little bit about their different divisions, what they kind of are dipping in, where they're going. And we just kind of want to talk about that today. But that's a little bit about the history of Timex. And so we wanted to maybe jump here into history, but we could talk a little bit about what we think about the watches, what they have as offerings, what a good collection would look like. So Dimitri, you want to take us there a little bit?
Yeah. I'll talk about basically making a four watch collection out of Timex watches, right? And I'll just kind of talk a little bit about my picks.
So is it like a fantasy budget of like $102?
I mean, Jesus.
With or without tax?
It's, yeah, 104.
Oh.
They. But they definitely are inexpensive. And when I was looking at their watches, right, today they have the American paper, I think it's called.
American documents.
American documents, right? It's like $500.
And it, yeah, US, it's like $650 Canadian. And I love that watch for what it stands for, and I'll explain why.
Yeah. I like it for what it stands for, yeah. But I don't like for what's inside of it.
The quartz, yeah.
It's a cheap quartz. It's a Rondo 6004 quartz. That's like $30 on a...
Right.
But built in the USA.
Not really.
It means a lot to Americans, that. Huh?
I know. That's an old branding. When you go on their website, that's the whole page.
The whole... with the Cold War, there was a whole push to buy American. And you know, Sony literally moved factories to a town called USA so they could print Made in USA on their products. And that's how they helped infiltrate the United States, because people were like, oh, it's Made in USA.
Infiltrate.
In the USA. Well,
that's the word I like.
But that's a true story. Yeah.
Annex.
But,
infiltrate. Befriend.
when you corrected me on the pricing for US to Canadian, it made me think, when I was looking into Timex, their offering changed a lot depending on which country website you're in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Interesting. Timex.ca, Timex.com. It's like Timex.com. You have like as double as many watches.
Right.
Okay.
It's nuts. Even .ca, if you look at, they have like sponsorship lines, like the NFL, NHL, right. Stuff like that. In the US, you can buy like the MLB, and there's like 8 different leagues.
Right.
And .ca, there's only 2 leagues.
Yeah.
Right. So if you ever shop
for... We don't have a baseball team anymore. No, we have Toronto.
Yeah, we have Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays. Damn, we need more baseball.
I thought there were still talks about potentially them bringing back the Expos. Yeah. Anyhow, so kind of... going along the four types of watches that we used in our previous podcast to choose from, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Chrono, the Diver, the Dress Watch, and the Joker,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I decided to apply the same
logic
strategy and pick four watches, right? I'll start with the Diver. And to be honest, they don't really have a lot of, let's say, the types of divers that I like. They do have the Iron Man watches, right? That are very, very hardcore...
No-nonsense.
Indestructible, like like a G-Shock, basically. That's style right. watch, right?
The Tony Stark of watches.
Well, yeah. But I don't really like them very much. So I think, Kevin, you actually have that watch. I for my diver choice, I'm taking the Navi XL automatic, 41 millimeter.
Yeah.
The one that I'm taking is the one that has like a mesh metal bracelet.
Right.
So it kind of stands out. It looks very nice, very dressy.
Is it the blue dial?
Yep, yeah, it's the blue dial with a stainless steel mesh bracelet.
It's nice.
It's very nice. I really like what they did. They kind of used basically the same look and feel as the Rolex, right? The Submariner. Now also matching the 41 millimeter size.
Right, exactly.
But instead of the Mercedes hands, they have a hole where the Mercedes kind of shape is.
Yeah.
And that hole goes specifically over the hours.
24-hour.
Over 24-hour,
yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
So
it's a good touch, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. So like the actual numbering is brought to the middle, and then you, as the hour hand goes on, you can see through the hole.
Is it like a jumping hour, so it's always on the number? Or it's kind of
half of it,
so you don't really still know what the number is under it?
The watch is $300, Carl. Calm down.
It only lines up. Like it only lines up perfectly,
for a moment.
Right?
For a perfect minute.
For a minute.
But it allows you to know, like taking a quick look, it's like 10, but it's actually, or it's 2,300 hours. That's, or 2,200 hours, or certainly.
Which is, I think it's pretty cool.
It's
a nice looking watch. It's shaped very nicely, but again, it's shaped almost exactly the same as the Submariner.
Yeah. But it's different enough that it's not like it, I find.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think just that little thing with the display of hours, I think it separates it quite a bit. What I also like about this watch is that... the mesh bracelet kind of fits. It just works for some reason. Mm-hmm. It makes it stylish as well as utilitarian. So I think it's a pretty good combination. It's not a proper diver that you guys are probably used to see. It's only 100 meter water resistance. But if you compare it to the other selections from Timex, this is the biggest water resistance you get, pretty much.
And that's okay.
Yeah, like, everything else is like 50 meters or maybe 30.
Yeah, you don't need more than 100 meters.
So it has that vintage-inspired design. And I kind of looked at my selection. Pretty much every single one that I chose is vintage-inspired, right? Because if you look at the Timex's offerings today, especially when it comes to like the modern style watches,
yeah,
they're very basic quartz. Like the chronos that they have, they're quartz. They're just, they look like Chinese, really, really well, basic, cheap, like too. Alibaba, you know, purchased.
Right.
Like any of the fashion brands that, you know, like they advertise themselves on Kickstarter, like, hey, you know, we cut the middleman. This is that.
Right.
So yeah, that's my first pick. Second pick is for the dress watch. This was the diver. This is the second one is for the dress watch. It's a bit more historically significant one. It's the Marlin that I'm picking, but I'm picking the 40 millimeter because I think the classic Marlin that they've redone is 34, and I think 34. You have it.
I had it. Yeah. Yeah.
And that watch Kevin mentioned, right? It's the iconic watch from the 1960s, mm-hmm. Dress watch too, right? And that it has that super vintage look. It doesn't look like a watch that was manufactured today.
Yeah.
The Marlin that I pick is the 40 millimeter. So it's a bit larger. It has a bit more of a Bauhaus look. It doesn't have the same exact hands, right? It's more simplistic, but I think it works very well. I like that. I like that gray dial that they have.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds me a bit of the Alpinist. I can't remember the word.
I had both of them, right? Because I had the same one, the 40 millimeter one 40? With the Snoopy.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Flying
okay.
Ace, yeah.
Okay. And yeah, it's a little bit on the thicker side. It's 13 millimeters, mm-hmm. But it's a pretty good offering. And I forgot to mention the price, by the way. So the Navi XL is $329 Canadian dollars, yeah. Right? It's not cheap. It's probably one of the more expensive offerings from Timex.
Right.
The Marlin 40 millimeter is $299, so it's another $300.
Mm-hmm. And they have a bunch of colors for that 40 millimeter.
Yeah, one. Yeah, they do. I mean, they really same for the Navi XL. Like it's a winning formula. That's a successful watch. They have all kinds of colors. You can pick colors, straps. I think Navi XL also Navi. Well, that not in Navi XL, but the Navi style watch they have comes in different sizes as well. Same as Marlin, right? You can get the Marlin 34. But I think majority of them are the 40 with all kinds of different like inspirations. Like there's, I think there's sports teams. You have like a Mickey Mouse version.
Well, they're all with the Peanuts.
Okay, Peanuts too as well. Yeah.
So you have like Snoopy, you have Charlie Brown, you have Woodstock, you have, there's a bunch of different ones. So, but they really, I think that affiliation with Schultz, whatever his name is, the guy who invented Snoopy and Peanuts.
Yeah.
It sells really well for them because they have it on the.
Worked for Omega.
Well, they have it on quite the well. Timex, yeah, but they have it on the Timex Q, you know, they have it on the M79, that automatic one. They have it on the, on their Marlin.
Yeah,
but they're killing it with that. People love that. It's just like the Snoopy that you have with the Omega. People love that.
Yeah. People just love Snoopy, it seems.
And it's very, let's say it's gimmicky. It's very American, too. They love that. It just feeds.
They love gimmicks?
I don't know. I think, but to me, it's like it could fail tremendously. But when it works, man, does it work. Like I had the Flying Ace, the Snoopy Timex, and it was sold out forever, like immediately. I made a ton of money when I sold that one because people wanted it. It was like, I bought it for $300. I sold it for close to like $600.
That's insane.
And because people didn't want to wait.
By the way, it seems that I'm checking the Chrono 24 and the Casio that we purchased. I guess it's sold out again because the price is like doubling on Chrono 24 again.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
But the best thing about Chrono 24 is how my discontinued Speedmaster is just slowly climbing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm already like 10% up from the purchase price. And it's nice because that was, for the most part, was like at 80%, right? So it just goes.
Go back where it was.
Yeah. So next choice. And next choice, I'm going for the Chrono. And for the Chrono, I am going with the digital watch that I actually really like. And I was looking, the more I look at it, the more I kind of want to purchase it for myself. Because I was looking for the Casio version of the like the stainless steel digital Chrono.
Yep.
Right, that I almost purchased. But this is more expensive, but I like this more. And I think now that I'm watching F1, I think Will Button, who's the interviewer for the F1 races. Yep. Mm-hmm. He, I think, wears that watch all the time. So this is the Q Timex reissue digital LCA, which stands for Liquid Crystal Analog. Why it's called Liquid Crystal Analog is because it's a digital screen with the analog watch printed on it, and it kind of moves as an analog watch on a digital screen, right? But it's a huge screen. It's full digital. So apart from that, you also have the digital clock, and you have all kinds of different functions, right? You have the alarm, the timer, the stopwatch, the chrono, all of that. It's a bit on the expensive side because it's $200 for that kind of watch, right? But it is well built. So it's all stainless steel with a stainless steel bracelet. And the bracelet is very nice too.
Yeah.
So it's 32 millimeters, but it's a rectangle shape. So it's 32, I'm assuming, width, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, the lug to lug is right? Weird.
Zero water resistance. It's like Speedmaster will just destroy it in swimming, right? It's 30 meters only.
Yeah.
Right? 9 millimeters thick, which is very, very thin. Cool watch. There's a lot of writing on the watch itself, on top especially. Like, I'm not sure why, because they the G-Shock, they have the screen functions. Marked with like the functions, right?
Yeah.
But at the bottom of the watch, right, outside of the screen, right next to where the bracelet is about to start, it also says chrono, alarm, timer. So I think that piece should have not been there. Apart from that watch looks fantastic to me.
I like it, the chrono alarm timer, because I think it this is a no-nonsense watch, and they want to show you the functions that it have. And if I'm not mistaken, Carl, you had this as your pick of a winner from last year's releases.
Yes.
This is the affordable one. Yeah,
yeah, the LC. The affordable.
Oh, we'll see. Okay, yeah.
And then we came and we said, you know what? In another episode, we said, when did the GA2100, because that G-Shock definitely must have been like at the top of
the G-Shock, yeah, for sure.
For sure. We were like, how can that not be in the most affordable that was successful that year? But anyway, this is a nice watch. Yeah,
I like
that.
And I love this touch of a digital screen showing an analog imitation, right?
Right.
It's just cool. It's cool. It makes it unique.
It's great because you could see the alarm with it. You could do a lot with it.
It was cool when they first launched a watch in like the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's irony cool.
Well, I don't know if it's irony because there's a lot of this reissue stuff going on lately, right? Huh?
I'm being ironic.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, irony cool is like just before being hipster, right?
Shut the fuck up, Dad. Oh, you don't get me. You're so not woke.
Could you just be cool now?
Yeah, be cool for once in your life ever. God. Pizza's life.
So stupid.
And my last pick is the Joker. It just, this watch doesn't really fit into any of the other categories. It's Timex Q.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know if you still have it.
I mean, I sold it too.
Okay, you sold it too.
For a huge profit?
No, I sold it for what I bought it for.
And I picked the Timex Q Pepsi, right? There's so many different colors you can buy now. So you have the Pepsi, you have the Timex Q, but you also have the Timex M79.
Yeah, which is the automatic version.
Which is the automatic version. The reason why I didn't go for it, first of all, it's more expensive, but second thing, it's a lot thicker because of that automatic movement.
But it's not a true reissue. The Timex Q, the Q stood for quartz.
Standard. I am learning English. It is a complicated.
But it stood for quartz. That's why it's called the Timex Q, right?
Yeah.
So the original quartz one is actually, it's nice.
It initially came out in 1979.
Yeah.
Diver-inspired Timex. I guess that was the time of the, what's it called?
Of your life.
No. But the divers, on the diver episode, there's a term for the divers, the skin divers, right?
Skin divers, yeah.
The divers that were kind of catered to just the regular public. The only kind of problem I do have with this Timex reissue, it's 220, it's not super cheap, but like Kevin was mentioning before, it's all on the outside, right? The inside is not great.
No, it's not great. So you're not buying it for that.
You're not buying it for what's inside.
That's overall Timex, right?
Yeah.
You're right, yes.
They're not impressive for their movement.
But I think that the LCA that you picked is good. For what's inside, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
but it is not cheap, right? It's still $200. It's the cheapest one in my selection, but it's still $200.
But to do mileage on what you're saying, Dimitri, what you're saying, Carl, because now we're finishing this pick of the chrono and the Timex Q is really a great reissue, and they're fixing on that. So Timex is affordable, and they're unapologetic about it. Like they're not trying to get into the game of making $1,000 watchmaking. They're like, we want to make something that's affordable. We want something for everyone, obviously. Right. Look at their catalog. They
don't make claims of cutting the middleman, right? And
exactly.
Giving you affordable luxury.
Like, no, and they lean a little, I think they lean on their long existence.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, their brand name. Mm. And so, but they don't seem to hit it with watchmakers. They don't, or collectors. Seiko has a place in the heart for watch collectors and whatnot. But
who's collecting disposable items? Any collection of any type, right?
Right.
You're collecting something that you want to keep, quote unquote, forever, or like right. as a value X, Y, and Z. I'm thinking a disposable item. The only thing that can be that in a collection is like a stamp collecting.
Right.
If they improve their, let's say, mechanism game,
yeah,
maybe they will change a little bit.
But I
imagine the price is already pretty high, right, for those watches. So like if they.
But yes and no. All considering, if you're like, I want to go buy a $500 watch, you can go get yourself. And I think Timex in the last 4 years, before that Marlin came out, they had no automatics. They had no mechanical watches. You had to go get vintage. It was all quartz. And now they're starting to drop automatics and mechanicals. And I think they're killing it. They're doing really well.
The next one's going to be an American Documents automatic. It's going to be $1,000 Timex.
No, I don't know if they'll go there because I don't think they'll let themselves go there. Because Timex says we have to keep it affordable. That's the point.
Right. It's kind of like the Tudor with the new gold watch, right? That...
They'll let themselves, yeah. But like Timex, it goes, no, we it goes against our culture to have a $1,000 watch. And even in their luxury line, which I really love, the Giorgio Galli S1, which I think is their that one sells for $550. That one is as a hollowed lugs, molded, molded case.
What does that even mean?
The case sounds technic.
No, the hollowed lugs means that, you know, you have the case and the lugs come down. It's like a piece of steel, right? Here, it's only the skeleton of it. So okay. It's hollowed out. And the case in itself, when it's an injected mold, meaning that they don't have a case of a steel that they shave out. They melt the steel down so that it becomes a powder. They literally make it become a powder.
So when something melts, it becomes liquid.
Liquid. And then they actually dry it. They cook it so that it becomes a powder, like a resin. And then they take that resin, they mix it into they have a mixture to make it into a liquid, and they inject it into a mold, and then it hardens.
So like plastic.
Kind of, but with steel.
Yeah, but it's like plastic molding. It's
the same. Exercise or the process. Yeah. That's right. But that's not an easy thing to necessarily do. It's easier to just buy a piece of steel, way you do, and then shape it on a grinder the way you want it to be, and then polish it, right? So mm-hmm. in this case, they went through a different one. If you look up the Giorgio Galli S1 Timex, it's impressive. And it doesn't sell for more than $550. It's from their luxury line. But I don't think they're looking to make overexpensive watches. You know,
they're slowly but surely getting there with the American Document. That was the only thing I was looking to it. I was like, ugh, right?
I wasn't sold on the way it looks, and the price is just way, way, way too much.
It's okay. Like it's still affordable for what it is, I guess. But like I was looking at most Timex, they're between like, let's say, $40 to like $200.
Right.
And like the American Document is like double, triple that.
And why?
But I don't understand why it was with the Ronda Quartz movement. That's like $30 movement. I looked it up.
Because I don't get that. It's built in the US.
It's built. Every single piece of that watch, other than the movement, was built and sourced in the United States. And that's a difficult thing to do. And I'll give you an example for that specific watch, the Timex documents. The glass is not sapphire. But they wanted to put in, because sapphire they couldn't source in the US. It was too expensive.
Right.
So to keep it in the price, they put in Gorilla Glass, the same stuff that's on cell phones.
Okay.
That's what they're
in
dial.
Resistance, yeah.
It's good. It's like Gorilla Glass.
To a sapphire.
It's obviously not strong as sapphire, but like Gorilla Glass, the cell phone, you could take a knife and literally like stab it stuff, and it won't scratch your well, Android has it, not my iPhone. Dimitri's eyeing me with a knife right now.
Yeah, I'm looking for a knife.
Let me test your phone.
Where's my knife?
Exactly. But
it's in the car, obviously. I forgot to bring it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's Swiss made, their quartz for the American.
It's a Swiss made.
But I do like the Giorgio Galli S1 though, because it has a nice open case with a nice
hollow
decorated
lugs.
Movement. It's nice.
And the dial has a cutout, and they put a jewel in it. It's a very nice. And that one's their luxury. But it's their luxury division. Remember the groups I said earlier? Right, the one that has Versace and Salvatore Ferragamo. The Giorgio Galli Design Lab is another division, and he's creating some of his own watches. And they want to keep it under $500-$600.
The one thing that I was also noticing when I was looking at their current selection is how you know that the brand is a bit more fashion forward, that they're not really focusing, like they're not a watchmaker, like enthusiast watch.
Yeah.
Is that if you look at the specs, they don't really give you much.
No.
They don't give you the movement name. they don't give you any specs of the movement, right? It doesn't tell you how many hours you have of power reserve, for example, right?
Yeah.
It just says mechanical automatic wind. That's all.
Size of the case, metal use, yeah. If it's metal.
So an interesting story about that. I had the Navi Harbor, the one you, sorry, not the
Navi XL.
The Navi XL. And you give it a good shake, the second hand would stop. And then it would start ticking again. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And they shake it again. It stopped.
Oh, is this a bus stop case?
But then I read up on it, and it's very normal. It's a Miyota 8215.
Okay, which is like a workhorse.
Which is a workhorse. But and I go, shake it, stop. And I did my research. It's a very normal thing to do. But I was like, what the hell? Is ready to return or whatever.
Maybe that's why they don't advertise, because it's a different brand that makes the movements, right? Yeah, same for the Ronda, right? My question then, if the American documents is fully American sourced, the Ronda is not.
But they say that everything other than the movement is American. Okay. And I mean the hands, the case, the
steel.
Why did they
opt for the quartz?
I think it was
like
for
a very basic quartz.
But because people say, why would you put in a Swiss quartz instead of putting in a Japanese Miyota, right? That we could have kept it under the price. I don't know.
The only thing is that maybe they won't be able to make the same case shape, right? Because you'll have to make a much bigger.
Because of Pearl Harbor.
Oh my God.
You don't forget. Never forget.
You're like an elephant.
Jesus.
I just never forget.
But in their Giorgio Galli, it's a Miyota movement.
We don't make deals with Japanese.
But
why?
But that whole watch.
That movie was really bad.
Oh yeah. They were flying the wrong
way. Not as bad as the new movie. There's a new movie that came out that's similar to Pearl Harbor. It's on Prime TV.
Midway.
I started watching it. 10 minutes in, I'm like, I can't force myself to go through this.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a lot. They try to make it look like it's big budget production, but because it's not, the CGI is less quality. So like all the crazy explosions, they don't look as intense, like as realistic. Mm-hmm. But also the story is just, it's just the same. It's like carbon copy, right? It's just not original at all. I did not finish it though. I watched maybe like 28 minutes overall.
But that being said, the Made in America, I think, sells well for Timex. And I think they're on the right track. Looking at what they're making in their watches, they're incredible. Like in terms of they're leveraging the brand name. They were making, like before the Marlin, which came out in 2017, the little Marlin 34, which kind of looks like a Glashütte, you know, those old originals. With the 12-369 and those little markings, that little gray dial. Looks great.
Right.
Even the black one. It's too small. If they made a 36, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, 34 is a little too small.
It's small. It's small.
Well, I've seen it. Kim was wearing it.
Yeah, and it works well on her, but like on me, it's just way too small. So
you look like a giant. It's like, hey, you have to wear small clothes at the same time.
Really,
just
really
to make
small.
Sure everything matches.
Exactly. No one's looking at your watch, though. Because I ripped my shirt like...
You're hulking it.
But before that watch, what did they have? They had the Weekender, right? Before that?
Well, they have the Indiglo original, right? The Weekender, yeah.
That's what they had before that.
And the Expedition.
That's really what they had.
That's it.
And they were all quartzes. They were all really cheap. They weren't being discussed. Then when the Marlin came out, the Galli, the Timex Q was huge.
Yeah, that was big. And I think... Isn't it the Timex Q that kind of sparkled that whole kind of venture into recreating the reissues of vintage watches?
Yeah, with the Marlin. With
Man,
the Marlin.
I do like the digital version. Very cool.
LCA, very, very cool. So Carl, what did you have on your list here? What do you want to talk about in terms of Timex? And we're back.
Carlito.
Carl, talk to us a little bit about Timex.
Talk to us, yeah. Man. We want to hear your voice.
No. So for people, we took a quick break there, and like Kevin spoke for like 35 minutes about his high school or something.
No,
it's like in Latin, and I'm so
it was
bored.
Latin.
This is like I'm so bored right now. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to work. I want to go sleep.
Would it matter what I was talking about, or would you just be like, I want to go sleep?
Oh, stop talking.
Exactly.
Just stop talking.
Just stop.
Just shut up.
Just shut up, Toby. Why are you like this?
So a bit in the same idea of Dimitri, who did a four watch collection. I was just looking into Timex collaboration. They have on their .com website, they have a huge section called Co-Labs.
Their American website.
On the .com website.
Is it the international website or the American?
I think it's American, because when you go on it, they ask you if you're from Canada and they switch you
Are you from America?
Are you American?
How many guns do you own?
So I think they use .com as their...
That's a proof of registration. You have to send a picture of your gun.
Verified video. What's up?
What's up? Two hands.
Just missing Wallstar at the end.
Wallstar, yeah.
So they have a bunch of different watches. It's all a collaboration with either like design companies, like brands, or designers.
Like Salvatore Ferragamo.
Versace.
Yeah. Mikasa.
Sukasa.
So, well, like who?
You know but the yes, so the first one I choose, at least I took five that I find interesting for me. The first one was with Todd Snyder, not yeah. Zach, the other one, the other Snyder.
Yeah. But what is he famous for?
Clothing designer.
Oh, he's a clothing designer.
He has a store, like I think, on Times Square, pretty much.
Okay.
Really Frank and Oki ish.
Frank and Oki ish.
So Frank and Oak, for anybody who's listening, it's a Montreal actually based Canadian brand of clothing.
Yes,
it's
yes.
Stylish, minimalist, and inexpensive that they go for, kind of like an H&M, but I think a bit upper scale.
Pretty much. So there's the Todd Snyder Q Timex. Same black dial, not the same indication, and it has a red accent on it.
Right, the dot over. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I actually really like
And different bracelet.
The Todd Snyder collabs that they have.
Yes.
They're really simple. Quite nice. Yeah, yeah. They're simple, very simple.
Right? They don't overdo it. That's why I choose that one. Same thing with when you look at the clothing from Todd Snyder. It's really simple.
Right.
It's plain shirts, plain pants. There's nothing too much.
But like they have a Marlin I just sent you guys. It's the Timex Todd Snyder Marlin date watch. 38 millimeter case. So it's a little bit larger, very smaller nice. Than the 40. A lot of fun, 12 and the 6.
But it also maintains the design from the original Marlin. So exactly. This is what I would pick, because I wanted the original Marlin design, but it was 34. And the 40 millimeter that I was looking at kind of dropped all of that, right? It was purely Bauhaus. This is
a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Right?
Yeah.
So that was my first pick, the first collabs that I think should be mentioned. They have a lot of them. They have collabs from Pac-Man.
Yeah,
of all things,
right? Yeah, the F91 style watch they have, right? Is the Pac-Man?
Yeah, Chinatown Market is a design company as well. That's kind of weird.
Are you looking at me? Would you say that? He really was like, Chinatown Market.
I mean,
you're probably ready to be raised. What the? Why the fuck are you looking at me?
Oh man, it's okay. Earlier you were like reading the papers, right? Like the news about the like Al Qaeda.
That is the news.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
so.
What's the connection?
Reading the news on a mic? That's not something from Cuba?
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I also thought you called them, like, I was trying to draw the connection to Guantanamo.
Yeah. Okay. No one's gonna top that.
Yeah, but every time you talk about German watches, you always point at me. Hey, you know Disney?
So my second... my second choice is a bit more out there. It's the Timex with the magazine Face and Anna, or Face X Anna.
I don't know what you just said. Was that English? Could you repeat that?
Are those words or just letters you put together?
So it's Timex with Face with Anna, but the magazine name is Face and Anna.
Oh, Anna. Okay.
Yeah. Face it's Anna. Face and. It's not Face X Anna. Okay. It's
no, Face.
And Anna.
And Anna Analog. Like 36 millimeter.
Yeah.
Did you pull that off at 36? It's a flashy watch. That's nice.
Yeah no, that's it cool. is. And they offer four different dials, and all the dials are completely different. But they all look like they were drawn on like crayons.
Yeah, that's cool.
It makes me think of Swatches, like some releases that they had. Yes, those, artsy.
It's really Swatch.
Yeah. But what I like about that, that's not like Swatch. You're right. The colors and all that thing is fun. This seems cartoonish. It's drawn
like crayon, right?
Well, yeah. Like the sweet, the Swatch though, the Swiss, they very like, they'll put a lot of colors, but it's very... Like linear and straight line. But this is fun. This is graffiti like.
Yeah. And like the black one, they removed the 12 for 00.
Yeah, the black one's really quite nice.
So yeah, I just think that's something really, really nice, really different as well. And it's a it came only on one strap. All the other ones, for some reason, beside the Todd Snyder one, when they came on NATOs and stuff like that, they all came with like two straps in the box for matching. And always they try to match the color with the different setup on your watch.
Right.
So quickly on the next one, it's Timex. And Brain Dead.
Okay.
Brain Dead being a collective from LA of artists. So when I was reading about it, I was like, a collective, right? There can be like 100 different artists. But they decided to use the Brain Dead logo and ask them like question about timekeeping and all those things. If you go on their website, they're...
It's called Brain Dead, the website?
Well, Brain Dead, yes. It's the an art collective. It's like...
What is it called? It's called Brain Dead?
Having suffered brain death, adjective. That's what it goes on. Brain Dead Watch, what is it?
Or Brain Dead Collective, if you want to look at the...
Brain Dead Watch Timex. There you go. So I'm sure I'll find the collection there.
Yeah. So there's the Brain Dead logo at Dead Center, and all the numerals from 12 to 11... They're all kind of blurry, like you going past them, right? It is like you're drunk or like you have low FPS, depending on how you
Or you're brain dead.
Or you're brain dead. But why they did it that way, it's because time is slipping away and everything's a blur.
Right.
Right? That's their idea behind that. Why
there's another brand. Have you heard of them? They're British. They're called Mr. Jones. And they have a couple watches that are around that about death, about time slipping away. So if you look up Mr. Jones watch...
I know a song by Counting Crows.
Called Mr. Jones. But if you look up Mr. Jones watches, they have their thing. And they have a whole thing about death. Where is it? Hold on.
Oh, I like that.
No, but it's very interesting. And it's a skull. And it's like, hold on. Remember You Will Die. Literally, their watch says, remember you will die, which is a unique memento mori, which means time is limited. And then the other one says...
The designs are cool. Yeah. I'm looking at the website right now, right?
Mr. Jones?
The dials are really
and
awesome.
And they have the last laugh.
And the price is not that bad.
The price is not bad. So the idea here, but like what you're saying is like the brain dead. It's like this idea. It's like time is limited. You know, appreciate the time you have.
You will die.
Yeah.
And with a yellow second hand as well. That's something different from that watch. It's all based on... watch that Timex already is putting out. So most of the time, just a dial hand combination.
So it's very fashion-y, you know, very trendy. Trendy is the word.
And they're kind of all limited, but they never tell you the quantity they're going to make. So at some point, they just discontinued them.
Right.
And this morning, when I was doing the research for that, while I was doing my research, they pulled a watch from their website while doing my research.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. So the next watch I want to talk about is the Timex and the Good Company collab. It's the same case as previous. So I think it's called the MK1 with Timex.
Yeah.
So they use the Good Company wavy logo to do the second hands. Beside that, it's a really, really, really simple MK1 Timex.
So MK1,
if the second hand is cool.
It's that Mark One. So it's military inspired.
Yeah. Really Hamilton khaki like.
Hamilton khaki, exactly. Yeah. So one of their big releases in the last year, which I think was really good, was the Timex M1 mechanical, which is like that, but it's 36 millimeter. I like that watch. I think it's a little ornate for a military watch, meaning it's a busy dial. They put the 24-hour counter. They put Timex mechanical.
Yep.
It's nice, but I think if they put just a little bit less, it would have been great. But this feeds off that like military feel, right?
Exactly. So I really like this one as well, again, because it's simple. Right? They didn't add too much. It's not a collab that's like super nuts. There's like collabs you can look on there. There's like... Raised by the Wolf.
You can't even buy this right now.
No, they pulled it this morning.
Gosh, well, do you know how much it was at before you pulled it?
I think it was about the same price as the other one, like 100 and something. $110.
That's fun.
It's like most of collabs with Timex, I was looking into it, they all range between $10 more to $30 more.
So you can get something that really speaks out to you that's fun for a couple of $30, $40 more.
Really
than
decent
what it
pricing,
is.
Right? Yeah. And if you like those brands, like the one I really don't like, they did one with Supreme.
Mm-hmm. Right? Okay.
I don't even know what Supreme is. I hear a lot about
Supreme
it.
Supreme is like one of those. It's like Obey,
brand.
Right?
It's like
the
hype.
It's like the back in our time we had the Von Dutches and stuff, right?
Also, they have that like that.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. So Supreme is just a hype brand, pretty much. Everything.
I seriously saw a basketball player
Supreme and
get a
Obey,
tattoo of Supreme on his body.
I'm looking at the Timex like collabs, right? And I like the Huckberry collaborations.
Yes.
I like the Timex X Huckberry very much. It's like the Timex Q with nice with a cool. I actually like the design a lot more.
You see, what's cool is that they have something for everybody, you see?
And you see, all those collabs, they're not on the Timex.ca at all.
You got to go find the collaboration site.
On Timex.com.
Casio does that too. They have like the collabs with like Kith. K-I-T-H mm-hmm. there, and then you're like, you can't find them on Casio, you got to go to
if you go site. To Seiya or something Seiya, or Nomon, right? Yeah. When they have a Casio section, like you see like the most ridiculous Casio watches
because they're collabs,
seen,
yeah. right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not sold on their Casio site itself. G-Shock Canada is nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Not so, even the Casio.
So the last collaboration I wanted to showcase is the Timex and the brand Woodwood.
Woodwood?
Yeah. So it's
what the brand's so good. Wood, like Woodwood.
It's like the brand so good like they named it twice.
Brand so nice they named it twice.
Woodwood, Bora Bora.
He ruined
Duran,
it.
Duran.
He goes, the brand so good they named it twice. It's like, no, the brand so good, nice they named it twice.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It literally does, it's the same.
He'll miss every rhyme he can. It's like, you're a poet and you don't realize it. Instead of know it. No, you're right.
I'm hurt.
That watch is really, really simple. At six, there's the WW logo. Right, but the big difference I did on that watch is the whole black dial is lume.
Oh, so it's like the Indiglo on its own.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the whole dial lights up at night.
But I'm just gonna pull a picture here so you can, guys, you can see quickly what I'm talking about. If my laptop wants to help,
is that helping?
Is that helping?
Is that collaborating?
Cool. So. When the whole dial loom light up at night, you can see at 12 and at 6 the word get lost.
I mean, go to bed?
Just get lost.
Okay.
The watch is pretty much telling you to fuck off.
That's funny.
But what's nice is that you really don't see it until it's nighttime, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really a subtle watch, black case, black dial, white numerals, and the whole dial is loom, but you don't see it really until it's night. And when you do see it, the watch pretty much go tell you to fuck off and that's do great. Something else with your life.
That's really great.
Yeah, that's great. I like when my watch tells me that.
But yeah, so that was my top five, at least for me, interesting collabs I did recently. Just go on the timex.com. You'll see their collabs tab. And there's, I think right now there's like more than 12 collabs right now that's live on the website. They do change often and they do that with bunch of different brands and or designers.
Right.
Right now, I think there's like three or four designers' name, like Todd Snyder, but there's other people I didn't know.
Right. So if there's a watch you could get from Timex, which one are you eyeing? Or which ones are you eyeing?
Right now, the branded one was really standing out for me.
Yeah.
On the one I look into. And no joke, the Q Timex didn't talk to me at all until I saw the Todd Snyder version.
Because the black one with the steel dial, the bezel.
Different.
Very nice.
Watches don't talk.
If you have an Apple one, they do.
That's true. But that's not a watch.
Hey, Alexa. When are they going to come out with a watch? I'm sure that's going to happen.
I'm sure it's going to happen too.
For sure. But the Todd Snyder one with the different bracelet. I didn't like the integrated bracelet on the normal Q Timex, but this one is talked to me a bit more.
Yeah.
Really looked like the Autodromo one.
No, it's great.
Just probably cheaper, but...
Yeah, but man, it's a fun watch to wear. And you know, like, I love that Timex has a watch they literally call the Weekender, because they're like, oh, you go do all this stuff. It's like, you just pop this on the weekend.
Also so cheap.
And that's the point.
You go to the Bay, like, they sell in that section, you know, like the rotating thing where you can just pick a watch from the like a paper, plastic package.
Yeah. It's all in exactly. You get it for $50, $60. Indiglo, easy. You know, fun watch that you can wear on the weekend, right? With different NATOs. And
that's why they call it that.
That's right.
Yeah. And at their price point, they're pushing boundaries with all those collabs and everything.
Yeah.
If you go look at the Chinatown Market one, it's all yellow. It's like a smiley face.
Yeah, you got to like it. Right. They sell, but they sell out.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And how much are the collabs? Are they more expensive than the regular
ones? So, like I was saying earlier, depending on what brand it is, it's the same price of the base watch. You had $10 to $30. That's it.
I was also looking, just wanted to mention quickly, there's a Timex X from Hugbury, right? There's a Timex Q reissue of Hugbury, but there's Timex X Hugbury, which looks like the Casio...
Show us, do you have it?
No, what's the Casio watch that Bill Gates owns that's a diver-looking watch? I forget the name.
The Casio Duro!
The Duro, yes, the Duro. It looks like the Duro.
Yeah. And also they do things for a bunch of different leagues, the NFL, NHL, the MLB, the MLS, if you like soccer, not
MLC,
football.
MLQ.
The even don't
forget the National Lacrosse League.
MLK.
MLK.
BLM. even some college teams as well.
USSR. What else?
Oldsmobile. Anyway, what about you, Dimitri? What would you buy? Now you started liking it because I think through this research, my list got bigger. But Diba, what are you looking at?
I think, I mean, I'm going to explore the collabs a little bit more, but I really want that LCA Timex Q reissue. I like that digital analog version. It's cool. It's cool. I really like the fact that it seems like, unlike the Casio, they really invested more money into this case shape. So it's more expensive than the watch itself, but it's well built. It's a nice bracelet, and it's a metal built. It's all steel, stainless steel watch, right?
Yeah.
So, I think that digital analog display makes it look very unique.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking at that because I wanted to have that something like that in my collection, right? Yeah. I was looking at the Casio. Well, I have the F91, but I was also looking at the other version. I can't remember what the name is, but there's a version obviously of the same Casio that's all metal with the metal bracelet. It was gold. It was a bit tacky. I almost purchased it, but I stopped the last minute because I realized that I'm probably not gonna wear it much because it doesn't really just fit into anything, right?
Right.
But I wanted to fill that gap. I wanted to have a watch like this.
Would you get the LC in gold or in steel?
Steel.
The steel one.
I'll get the steel.
Yeah, that's good.
And I just wanted to fill that gap because I wanted to have that digital like watch with a bracelet that's a bit like nicer looking than the standard digital. Like this is the one that I have, the Casio F91. It's a $20 watch from Amazon, right? It's really basic. I can rip it off my arm and throw it in the garbage right now, and I wouldn't even.
But it's a little bit of like maybe a toy or understand. But the other one is a little bit more.
It's more of a presence watch, more substance,
and it's not too G-Shock, which is just like tool, like ready for war. Like I don't need ready for war, but maybe I don't want something that's a toy either, just something in between.
I'm curious. I'm not sure about you guys, but like I don't necessarily want. There are certain times when I'm going somewhere during the day, I don't want to wear a nice watch.
I agree.
I don't want to have a thought in my head that I have to be careful.
I agree.
Like I've put on my G-Shock, not even the Casio. I put my standard G-Shock, the 5600, right? Or I put something like this, or I put my Vostok. Vostok, I think for me today is that perfect beater. I don't care.
Exactly.
I break it, I'll not be upset, right?
Yeah.
I want to have something that doesn't inspire, let's say, like any worry in my head.
You'll get a little upset this year.
A little bit, yeah. I like
that. I agree because my full metal G, my Casio G-Shock that's full metal, which they came out with a rose gold one, which is really popping.
But gold, like real rose gold?
No.
Oh, just the color.
Plated.
$10,000 G-Shock.
Imagine.
Wow. Yeah. But they have that. They have those like $10,000 full gold ones, right?
And imagine they cover it in like resin. So the gold is actually inside. You never actually see it, but it's there.
You'll never get to it, right?
Unless you break it.
But like that full, the only thing about that G-Shock is that you always have to, sync it up to make sure the time is good, which is fine, but it's heavy. It's big. It's flash. It's not just like easy. What I actually find my no-nonsense when I'm like working outside or doing something, I just throw on my marathon normally because it's easy. You go, you pull out the crown, marathon set the time, fiber thing. But I know what you mean. Like,
what would you get from a Timex collection if you?
So I would like the one I'm really liking is that Giorgio is got the Giorgio Galli S1.
But that
like
one is the blue. I love that one. Yeah. I've looked at it more and I like the exhibition case. It's well and great.
Really nice watch. So the ones that I'm looking at. So here I had the Timex Q. Love it. I think it's a proper reissue of the piece. I think they needed a tad more water resistant because it's a 50 meters only. And it looks like a dive watch. I think 100 would be perfect. I think the Waterbury Classic, you guys should look it up. It's also a great all-around watch for someone who's getting into it. At 269 Canadian, it has an IWC Portugueser feel, I find, to it. So the IWC, the Timex Waterbury Automatic, 40 millimeters, great. The Timex M1 Mechanical, the one that we were just talking about, Carl, at 36 millimeters, I think is very true to the military feel. It has that olive green, very army green. I love it.
So which one would you get?
I would get the Galli, the S1, because I would to put that in my collection. And the reason why is I would wear it more.
You know, this guy is like, which one? He's like, yes.
Like, which one would you get? So they have the Timex Q, they have the Galli, they have the Expedition, the Waterbury.
It need to justify is like, how many now? 360 some change. Wow,
I thought we crossed the 400 mark.
No,
probably.
We did nothing.
That deep in that.
No, we did nothing.
That deep in the year, probably, right?
No, our calculations. By our calculations, we have crossed.
Because the thing is, we know you change your watch sometimes more than once a day, so you must have more than 365.
You mean like transactions, like he buys and sells more than once?
No,
a
like
day?
Like. In the old times when I was seeing him.
In the 50s.
In the old
before
times.
The COVID.
Before the COVID.
Pre-COVID.
I remember seeing you walking into your house, like just to get something or like in your backyard and coming out and wearing a different watch.
Did so, I? No, I didn't. When?
Often. Often. Often.
What a...
So,
no.
Wait. Often. How often do you watch him?
Wearing two watches.
This is a fabricated occurrence. I demand... No.
You demand nothing.
I have a question for you. Are you just like parked outside in his driveway waiting for him to come out of the
yes,
car?
Yes.
With like at watches. Night? He walks out at night for a walk.
The... Okay, so back to Timex. I think they, one thing, I think that reviewers hate Timex to me, like I'm just in my research. I think they hate it because they're always looking at bang for buck. And they say Timex does not give you the best bang for buck. You can go get a micro brand, you can get something with sapphire crystal, something with better movement. But I think they are at their core watchmakers. But movements and their engineering has never been the heart of their collection, their pitch. They're like, look, we've been around for a long time. We make affordable watches. We make something for everybody. And now that at least they're starting to make things that will last. They have things with movements that will last forever.
I like that they're transparent about this, right? Yeah. They're not
they're
hiding.
Forgiving about it.
Yeah, I think that make their collabs way more making sense in their field, right? In the offering. There's some watches that collabs you don't really understand why.
Yeah.
I think for Timex, it's perfect. Like, yeah. Go for it, right?
Right.
It's on brand, pretty much.
Yeah.
So to me, like, say what I learned this week, I think Timex has been around for a very long time. I think they're really, really great. I think that Timex is something that everyone should have in their collection and enjoy it because they're fun to get your hands on. They're easy to get your hands on. And you know, I say screw anybody who says that Timex is not
screw
a watchmaker.
Screw you, Benny.
Exactly. Screw you if you don't think Timex are watchmakers, if you don't think they deserve
a place
in your collection.
Well, you don't agree with me? Well, screw you, okay?
And, you know, I've listened to a lot of podcasts where a lot of, you know, prominent watch collectors, some of them will say, yeah, I enjoy wearing a Timex Merlin. I enjoy wearing an affordable Timex.
Yeah.
And I think that you don't buy a Timex to make a statement, but I think it deserves a place in your collection.
For sure.
I really enjoy it.
I agree with you.
Yeah. What about you, Carl? Do you agree? Are you considering Timex now more than...
Well,
ever.
I'm still going to aim for my 3 watch collection. I didn't have the time to sell all
right,
the
no
watches.
All right, no one cares. So winding down, if
wow.
you like this podcast, follow us at our Big Black Clock official Instagram. And our email address, if you want to reach out to us, is bigblackclockteam@gmail.com. You can send Carl,
obviously, no more watches because he doesn't need
it. He doesn't want watches anymore, apparently.
Watch collection.
He's drawing the line at 3, so that's it.
Took your stand, and it's the principle of the thing. You know?
Yeah.
So no one cares. And then for Dimitri, you could send him a GMT Master 2 Pepsi, or you send him money.
IWC Big Pilot.
IWC Big Pilot 43 now. That's
same
really
at the Historic American.
Yes.
Just keep sending them. It's fine. I'm not going to discriminate.
Review units.
Tell us which Timexes we mix. Tell us if you're a fan of Timex. If you're not, why not? If you are, why? And like we said, tough time out there. So be good to each other. And for all of you that are continuously shopping like me, happy hunting.
Until next time.
Ciao.